Locked On Canucks, your daily podcast on the Vancouver Canucks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And thank you for making Locked On Canucks your first listen to of the day. I am Nick Bondi. I am joined, as always, by Lachlan Irvin. And Lachlan, I think we're getting a lot of answers in terms of what this Canucks roster is going to look like, as much as you can glean into without the two best players on the team being there.
Yeah, we definitely are. There's been some standout players. There's been some people making a good case for why they should be on the team. But overall, this is a group that's more pretty set outside of a couple of spots here and there. As soon as those contracts come into play, hopefully soon, we're gonna have a pretty good look at what this team is gonna look like for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and like we said before on a previous episode, we're gonna be leading with the whole. We're gonna have to mention right off the top the whole Pettersson Hughes holdouts pretty much until they get signed, right? Because it just feels like that's such a big part of this training camp, the two best players not being here, and there's really nothing new to report on that front. I mean, they're still trying to work out a deal. I'm still holding out for three times eight on both sides. I think it even works better for Hughes since Dahlin signed that 3x6 deal. But again, let's talk about training camp to start. Then we can get back to the OEL Bagsgate, which I know you have your thoughts on, Lachlan, and the battle for the third pairing left defenseman. But first, training camp so far. A few thoughts on my end, Lachlan, are Vasily Podkolzin. He's got a good shot on it, man. Like, he's got a really good shot. It seems like we've got sort of a sense of what the preferred pairings are with the Vancouver Canucks. We have OEL with Tucker Poolman, the pool man, Tyler Myers with Olli Levy, and Jack Rathbone and Luke Shen. Will Lockwood, we've talked about it on the last podcast, but he looks determined to earn a roster spot, show up in great shape. And Nick Batan, a lot of people are speculating that he could be the placeholder for Elias Pettersson for a first line that does not feature JT Miller. It might feature Nils Höglander. So Höglander, Besser, Pettersson as the first line. A lot of things to get into for training camp. But Lachlan, what are your thoughts so far on the line combinations, defense pairings, in terms of what we could see on opening night?
Well, we should preface by, of course, saying that, you know, first day of training camp, we're going to overanalyze everything.
I'm sure
we
talked about that yesterday. That's our job here on Locked On Canucks, is to overanalyze everything.
Yeah,
it's to look at everything. That's our promise to you, the listener.
Yeah, yeah. It's to always assume the immediate, if this is exactly how it is. But, like, yes, Podkolzin looks very good. Obviously, because I've been, I go to school every day, just to peel back the onion a little bit. I go to school every day.
You're going to be the big J journalist of this podcast eventually.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Exactly. So I didn't get to, you know, say watch as much of like training camp as I like, but I did stumble upon a couple videos that I found very interesting. One being, I believe it was David Quadrelli's video. It was from behind the, like, just from like up in the stands behind the net, behind, I think it was Mikey DiPietro, where you just see Podkolzin skate into the circle, like skate in right towards the hash marks and just rip a shot.
Was the clip I was sort of referring to. Like, he has like a great shot on him already. That's cool.
I was pretty sure. Yeah. It's you know that this kid's going to come in with just all of that firepower on that shot, and he's coming in to be a scorer. Like, that's his anticipation. He's not like, we talked about on the last show that, you know, for a lot of Russian national teams, he often had to kind of, there were a lot of cases where he was kind of making the pass, the extra pass, because he felt he had to kind of, do a lot of the more of the playmaking stuff because of how the game was being played and how the roster was built. Now he's going to get to come into a team where he's going to get to take the shot. There were so many times where he was hesitant to take the final shot for Russian teams or for, say, like the KHL. He's coming in here to be a shooter. And that's what he's best at. So it's going to be amazing to see what he does when he's given full rein in games to just start like unloading on the pucks on the net. You mentioned the defensive pairings. I think obviously without Hughes, it's hard to get a really nail down how it's going to look.
I don't think so, because Hamnick wasn't there either. So those two out. Like Hamnick, again, we're getting more rumors that it could be vaccine related. I mean, some people are saying that he's still holding out to get vaccinated, which is strange to me because, you know, he held out. He was one of the few players who held out in the bubble initially last summer because of his concerns of his daughter who's immune compromised, got COVID last year. And you would think someone like that would want to get vaccinated, but again, just rumors.
We don't know family yes, things or whatever. Exactly. All we'll say is if you can get vaccinated, please get vaccinated. That's
yes,
very
whatever,
important.
Whatever little clout we have on this podcast, we will use to encourage people to get yes, vaccinated, but yeah,
always use your platform for good.
Exactly. And I think without Hughes and Hamnick there, I think you can read a lot into the pairings. Like I think, you know, OEL Poolman seems to be, you know, the pairing they want. Myers Yolevi seems to be the pairing that they want. And with Yolevi, I mean, there's all these images online of just him pretty much dying after the bag skate. We're going to get another player a bit in a few minutes. We also didn't have a good showing in the bag skate, at least at first. But for Yolevi, I mean, it obviously seems like they have the inside track there for that third pairing left D spot, but I mean, yeah. Yolevi Myers, is that a pairing that maybe exudes confidence? I don't think so.
Yeah, I would say that one is the one I'm skeptical about a couple of the lines here, especially because, you know, once Hughes comes in, the question becomes, okay, who are you kicking out? I know because we've talked before that I don't know if Hughes and Myers is a good pairing. So it's almost like, okay, maybe if Yolevi's the odd man out, which I assume he would be, who gets shuffled down? Do you move Poolman down to play with, do you move OEL down to play with Myers and have Hughes with Poolman? Do you move Hughes to Luke Shen? I honestly think, which would be a shame, because I honestly think as far as the pairings go, the one that I look at that I actually quite like is Rathbone and Shen, specifically because one of the things that I remember most about Luke Shen's short but very memorable first stint with the Canucks was just how well he did at insulating Quinn Hughes as a fresh babyface rookie in like his first 10 games. He was very good at being that stabilizing partner for Hughes so that Quinn could go and have free reign to do the things that made him successful. And that's why I really like him as that partner for Rathbone again here. I think he's going to be, I think he'd make a very good partner for a guy who is, you know, just developing, who looked pretty good in the games he got last year. Even still, just the fact that he could have that guy there as like your second pairing, I think that Rathbone Shen pairing looks very, very good. And you saw some of the videos of Shen, I'm sure, just going nuts in training
camp. He had a good first day. There's no doubt about it.
He had a great first day. I think one of the things that we in Vancouver, I think, are often starved for is the defenseman that looks like they're trying hard. And that's not a knock at the other defensemen saying they weren't trying hard. It's that some of them are so good at making it look effortless. Like they're so good at that effortless skill that, and sometimes you just want that one defenseman who literally looks like he's just huffing and puffing every time he crosses the blue line.
And Luke Shen's that guy.
And he does it well. And he's a very good defensive defenseman. Maybe on a team with more depth, he's not necessarily going to play a whole lot of minutes. Like obviously you saw the way Tampa was structured last year, but just for when he's able to get into those games, you never are worried that he's going to be like a disaster in his own end. You know, he's going to put every single ounce of effort in he has every single shift. And you know that he's going to be a very good helping partner for guiding younger guys like Jack Rathbone.
Yeah, and Nick Petan, my boy, he's getting boosted up the lineup, man. Like he might play top 6 minutes if Pettersson holds out in the regular season. Like I'm not discounting that right now. It's easy to say.
We're gonna have to get you a Nick Petan jersey, aren't we? We're gonna have to work on that.
Preferably Vancouver Canucks, because I have a good feeling he's gonna make the team out of camp. But you know, I'll take an Abbey Canucks Nick Petan jersey. I think that'd be a good collector's item.
I'm sure we could get you a Leafs one on discount on clearance.
No. if you get me a Leafs jersey, Lachlan, this podcast is over. I'm leaving. No Leafs merchandise no Toronto sports merchandise under any circumstance. But you know, Nick, it's easy to say again. Nick Batan will be the placeholder for Pettersson. But if that's the case, Höglander, a top line player, like it would be interesting because you know you obviously have the skill of Pettersson, Besser, and you could have Höglander as kind of like that guy, the Alex Burrows role in terms of the guy who goes into the corners and along the boards to dig out the puck for the other two. Right? Not saying he's going to be the next Alex Burrows, but that's kind of the role I think maybe Travis Green sees for him if he does stick on that top line.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, maybe a better comparable is just the fact that he might just be a younger JT Miller. Like he might just kind of be that guy in the sense of how Miller was brought in specifically to be that first line, pair for matchup for Pettersson and Besser, specifically because they didn't have the guy who could go in and fetch the pucks and play a little and get into the corners and make set up the play. And Höglander can do that, and he has a little bit of that creative side that Pettersson and Besser have as well in his own right that matches really well. I didn't even think about that as an option. I always kind of assumed that he was going to start with Horvat, especially because they had so much chemistry last year.
Everyone did.
Yeah, but as soon as you mentioned that Höglander was playing right now with Besser, with the idea that eventually Nick Batan will be replaced by Elias Pettersson, that honestly, like, it took me a second. I was like, oh yeah, of course. Why wasn't that my first thought? I guess part of that was just the idea that, oh, you know, he's still only in year two. He's still learning. He's still getting the experience under his belt. Maybe first line is a lot of too high an expectation for him. But no, honestly, he's ready for it. He showed it last year. He was at many points their best player and their hardest working forward. I don't see any reason why he couldn't go up and play in that first line and, you know, look good doing it alongside Petey and Brock there.
Another player who had an interesting camp first day is Oliver Ekman-Larsson, a.k.a. OEL. But first, before we get into that, I want to talk to you about BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for sports betting. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. With a new site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports.
Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part is there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Okay, so you know, we're going to talk about now the, I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you've seen this video already. It circled all around Twitter. Friend of the show, Chris Faber.
You can call Faber friend of the show.
Can we call him friend of the show? He actually hasn't been on the show yet. That was why I was kind of hesitant.
He has not been on the show, but he has often, he will be at some point. I've already talked to him about that.
Okay,
so he will be eventually.
All right. Making moves behind the scenes without my knowledge. Yeah. That's always good to know. So yeah, the Oliver Ekman-Larsson OEL bag skate video is he was lagging way behind. It seems like now it was a short clip. It's not clear if he was, that was like the last stretch of the bag skate, or they call it 40s, you know, like it's, or something like that. Like it's a lot. It was, we have no idea if it was the last stretch of the bag skate or what have you. And I just have a simple question, Lachlan. Is it time to panic? Are we at DEFCON? Are we at DEFCON 1 through 5 for this video, or is it just an overreaction?
I think it's a little bit of an overreaction, just because of the fact that, like, look, we already knew OEL is, like, you know, he's a little older. He's had some leg injury issues. Like, I tried my best, especially, like, people were really reading into the bag skate body language and stuff. Particularly, like, I know some people were trying to, like, say, like, you know, the media people were on that a lot of the time. I personally think that mostly I saw the weird takes coming from fans on this one, where they're like, look how he's just dogging it out there. And yeah, but you know, I was what? Like,
Lachlan, at one point it ended up being the classic Twitter thing when there was an overreaction, and then there was an overreaction to people saying that there was an overreaction. Right? That's kind of how it ended
on
up
on social media. I never thought I'd see the day. No, So I try not, especially with bag skates, like, look, and I know it's every, no one is good at bag skates. No player, there's no athlete on earth who is equipped enough, who is going to walk through an entire bag skate without breaking a sweat. But you put Usain Bolt in a bag skate situation, or
I like to see
or the running
skates
version.
That would
be
fun.
I'm sure he'd be great. He's such a natural athlete. He'd probably be great at any sport he picked up. But like, if you put any great athlete, transcendent athlete into that situation, Michael Phelps, Tom Brady, whoever you like they're going to come out of that in the exact same way. They're going to be gassed. They're going to be bent over, tired, and just trying to catch their breath. There is no athlete on earth like capable of just doing that and not coming out of it tired. So for, like, you know, to see people being like, oh, look at him, he's not even trying, or like, I saw there was one take that I thought was very questionable, where people were like, specifically with in regards to Ole Ualevi, like Ualevi, for anyone who isn't on Twitter. There were a couple of pictures of him just like straight up just lying down, basically in a starfish, or like,
it looks like he died.
And so many, and I saw one particular take, I'm not going to mention who it was, but they were basically,
podcast to call him or her out.
We don't want to burn any bridges before we get there. but they were basically like, oh, you know, coach is going to remember those. Coach is going to remember that body language, and you shouldn't do that in front of your coach. And it's like, that's kind of unfair. Like, honestly, to me,
he's not going to care like 2 months later.
Frankly, to me, if I'm a coach, and again, I'm not a hockey coach, maybe I'm reading into it wrong because I've never been behind the bench, but personally, I'd see that as, oh, you worked the hardest you could. You put in every last ounce of strength you had. Like, yes, it can look to some like maybe you're not conditioned. It can look that way. But also I could see it as, depending on how well you know the player, which if you're an NHL coach, the answer is probably very well. It might look that way. But if you know the player, is a different type of competitor, you probably just know that he is just put every last ounce of strength he had into that backseat, which means he worked as hard as he possibly could. And that's good. You don't want a player to finish a bag skate looking like they haven't broken a sweat, because that means they didn't try. I think in all the cases that we saw so far from those, they tried. They were trying. They put in every last ounce of strength they had, and they just didn't have it near the end. I don't know about OEL specifically. That one was a bit of an interesting one, just because he's not necessarily skating the fastest, but at the very least, you know, you hope that as he gets better, it'll get a little bit quicker and he'll be able to keep up with the others as he goes.
So to me, the whole OEL bag skate situation was a good welcome to Vancouver moment for him, because if he does this in Arizona, first of all, does anyone know they do bag skates in Arizona? No, because it's the Coyotes, and that's part of the issue here, right? Like, if he like is so far behind the bag skate in the desert, no one cares, right? Like, no one cares. There's probably like one person there, like covering it, and guess what? Like, maybe they're taking videos, who knows? But this is a nice welcome to Vancouver moment. Like, something like that happens and it's going to be circulated on social media and people are going to have thoughts. And you know what, like, Connor Garland, he puked. He had the Troy Stetcher Memorial Puke Award for puking during the bag skate. And yeah, it's funny, but like, I think the whole point of OEL is, or what I got from it is, again, it's a welcome to Vancouver moment for the guy. Hopefully he realizes that he's not in Kansas anymore, so to say, and there's going to be a lot more pressure and scrutiny, especially because of his cap hit, especially because of the way he came in. I said it before on my previous podcast. In today's NHL, you are judged first and foremost by how much you make via the salary cap, right? Like, that is the number one way you are judged. If, you know, no one's going to give a about Brandon Sutter making $1 million a year when he makes a mistake, right? When he's making $4.5 million with a no trade clause, then people are going to rip on it. But now he's making one. Guarantee you, Brandon Sutter mistakes are going to be a lot less scrutinized online, right? So it's a combination of that, the way he was acquired, giving up a top 10 pick, very controversial in a way. So it's a good welcome to Vancouver moment for him. And hopefully he learns now that everything he does on and off the ice is going to be under a microscope, right? Like, yeah. This is not the Coyotes anymore.
It seems like he understands that pretty well, even, like, because I would say, like, out of all the Canucks we met on media day, he made a pretty good first impression. He was funny. He was making some jokes. He was having, like, a good time with the media people. Obviously, it's always easier, like, first media availability of the year is always the easiest one to do because you're coming in fresh. You're coming in ready to go. New team, new everything. I think OEL is a guy who, if he plays well, could become a very popular Canuck. He would, if he ends up living up to the high expectations that his cap hit and his past history dictates, he could become a very popular player here. So yeah, you hope that, you know, this isn't the clip we saw isn't, say, like the Louis Erickson moment where everyone's first impression of Louis Erickson was him putting the puck in his own net. You hope that this isn't one of those, and you hope it's more of a...
He didn't end up becoming an empty net specialist, right? Like, that was a moment of things to come for Louis Erickson.
Yeah, in a way we didn't expect, in a way we did not see coming. You hope for OEL that this ends up being more in line with, like, say, the Pettersson scoring on his first shift thing. Like, you hope it's more on that side of the scale rather than Louis's own goal in that regard.
Yeah, and we're about to talk about the third pairing left defenseman battle. We're going to be ending every podcast for the next little while with a different battle in training camp. But before we talk about that third pairing left defenseman spot, I want to talk about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for absolutely everyone. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out because there's a lot of good ones. Coconut Cherry Barcia, that's a great name. Mint Brownie Double Chocolate. They have, of course, classic flavors like strawberry, orange, cookies and cream. I'm a classic flavor guy myself. I like the orange. If you haven't tried all the flavors, guess what? You can get a mix box where you'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are they great tasting, but you know what? They're healthy for you, of course. 17 to 18 grams of protein in each bar. Only 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Get Built Bar today at built.com. 50% off your order at builtbar.com. Okay, so the third pairing left defenseman role is up in the air, I would say, at this point. I would say the 3 main contenders are Ojolevi, Jack Rathbone, and Brad Hunt. I'd say those are the 3 main guys. And you know what? Like, there's options and there's pros and cons and there's things that the Canucks are going to have to weigh for each of them. So for Ojolevi, obviously, it's the fact that he can't be sent down without being put on waivers, right? And also there's the fact that he is the former 5th overall pick of the Vancouver Canucks. No regime wants to give up a 5th overall pick on waivers. It's admitting you made a terrible, terrible mistake. Jack Rathbone obviously had a great camp. He had a great season. Like, he came up and he played pretty well after, you know, a difficult stretch to be in Utica with a COVID outbreak and just the whole COVID season in general. And he played well, but of course he can be sent down to the minors very easily, right? And I was reading an article where I don't claim to be a smart salary cap guy, but apparently if you call him up later in the season, he's going to cost more against the salary cap. I have no idea how that works, but I'm going to trust, you know, the Athletic. They seem like they know what they're talking about there.
Yeah, they're a young group. They're a startup, but they seem to
seem to know what they're talking about. And Brad Hunt, it was interesting, Lachlan. I was looking up Brad Hunt's stats prepping for this show. He hasn't played in the AHL since 2016-17. I think there's a perception out there that he's like some AHL guy that they signed. No, he hasn't played an AHL game since the 16-17 season. Now, granted, he's played, you know, sporadically in the NHL since then, but he can be, you know, the press box seventh defenseman for this team. By no means, I don't think he's automatically going to be sent down to the AHL and be playing games there, right? Like, he obviously has the credentials to play in the NHL. So, Lachlan, I mean, what are your thoughts on this left pairing, third pairing left defenseman side? Because there's probably three guys battling for that one spot to start the season.
Yeah, and that's not even factoring in what's going to happen with the right side, because also you have to add in, like, say, Travis Hamonic into that mix potentially if he shows up, because of how many, you know, there's only usually like one spot left for a seventh defenseman at that point. So the question becomes like who can basically take that seventh, at least that seventh, and make it their own. Rathbone for me is the standout here. Like, he's the clear, in my opinion, he's the clear, like, front runner out of this group. He's already shown very quickly that he can be an offensive contributor. He's pretty good in his own end. Like, there weren't a lot of cases last season where I remember looking at Rathbone playing in the defensive zone where I was like, oh, he looks out of place here. Like, he looks out of his depth. He was at
one point babysitting for Tyler Myers. Like,
Yeah, he sure did. He did a very good job. Like, there were points, especially in Utica, where it was very clear that he didn't really have much to learn down there. Like, he was ready. He seemed pretty ready to go. Like, the game action was definitely good for him. Like, especially last season when it was so hard to get players into games and get them their opportunities. When he played, he always looked very good. He looked totally capable in whatever position either Utica or the Canucks threw at him. And I think he's very much a front runner to make the team right out of camp. Brad Hunt is an interesting option, especially because I remember him very, very vividly as a member of the original Golden Knights team. I remember him part of that the Golden Misfits year. He was a big part of it, especially, I believe, in like the early going. He was really, like, I think he had a lot of key crucial moments for them.
Also, of course, played for the Wild in the bubble when the Canucks faced
him. Played for the Wild in the bubble. Exactly. He's played a lot of games. He's not a scorer, but that's okay. He doesn't really need to be. He only played 12 games last year, had 1 point. And that, again, that's largely due to mostly to the taxi squad stuff and kind of the way that was sorted out. This year he should get a lot more opportunities, I think it's possible that he does end up as like the seventh defenseman. Again, it's very much a case of can he prove that he is worth a spot over, say, an Olli Juolevi or a Travis Hamonic should he show up. That's going to be the hardest question for him is if he can prove that he's worth it more, especially because, you know, you, like you said in our last segment, a lot of what you do is measured on your cap hit, like on how much you're being paid. You can make if you're making an insane amount of money, you'll be given every opportunity to succeed over a guy who's only making six figures. So you have to kind of prove that if you're the six figure guy, you have to prove that it's worth, say, benching somebody making a lot more than you, and that it makes more, that you will make more, I guess, fiscal sense, I guess. So Hunt's got an uphill battle. I think he can, I think he's capable of it. At the very least, I think he's going to get to go to Abbotsford. He's going to get to play a lot of game. He's going to get a lot of game action. He's probably going to get a lot more ice time than he would, say, at the NHL level if he were playing games. And I don't think there's too much worry that he's going to get caught, like claimed off waivers or anything. So I think the odds are on. I think the odds are that, you know, Rathbone's going to be that last guy for sure. I think Ualevi is kind of Ualevi's in a tough spot, particularly because I don't think he's getting. I think if he had to be put on waivers to get sent down, I don't think there's any team that's going to claim him.
He's a fifth overall pick, Lachlan. Like, these guys get way more chances than they should because, you know, if they're a top 10 pick, like, you're getting another chance. That's just how the NHL works.
That is true. The Calgary Flames did replace Mark Giordano with Eric Goodbranson. So there is that. Exactly. That is true.
Why is Eric Goodbranson in the league? He's a third overall pick. That's why.
And he's very handsome. That's also part of it.
Yeah, he's very good looking.
Very good looking guy. We can't deny that. But yeah, I think Ualevi's in the toughest spot. He has to have a really good training camp. He has to have good preseason. Like, he has to show game action that he can do well. It's tough for him because I honestly think I would favor him potentially over, say, like a Tyler Myers.
Of him dying after a bag skate is not a good one. Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Oliver Ekman-Larsson was way behind, but at least he didn't collapse on the floor and just look
like
dead.
I said in the last show, it means he tried. He put in every last ounce of effort.
You're a professional athlete, man. Show up in a bit better shape. This is not your first Canucks training camp.
Sure. Okay. But
at least Connor Garland and OEL have excuses. They haven't been through a Travis Green training camp. How many times has Ualevi been through a Travis Green training camp at this point? He knows the bag skate's coming.
You're going a little hard on poor Ole. He's working.
No, everyone knows I'm not an Ole Ulevi fan at all. He can't defend the rush. If he can't defend the rush, what are you doing playing him as an NHL defenseman?
But look, and you say that, and that's what, again, like, full cards on the table. Cards on the table. If everyone is at the same cap, if it's not a matter of money, if it's not a matter of what your cap space is, if I'm a GM or a coach, I kind of like him over, say, like a Tyler Myers, who can sometimes be who's a huge liability every time he steps in the zone, just because he's younger. There's potential that if you give him more time, he could potentially match up, pair better with somebody else. If Luke Shen can play with Rathbone.
Wait, did you say Ualevi has potential?
I think he has some. It's been
over 5 years since he's been drafted, Lachlan. Like, he is what he is at this point.
He is what he is, but like as a third pairing guy. Like, I'm not saying he's ever going to be top four. I don't believe that. But I think he could be at least an okay sixth or seventh option for you in the right situation. I think the problem is there's just that situation's not here. There's no one to put him with. There's nobody who you really should have him on a. There's no one who would match up well with him. So yeah, you kind of have your last resort is kind of sending him back to Abbotsford and hoping he finds another gear there. I think the odds are slim, but yeah, I think Rathbone right now is your guy.
Yeah, I think Rathbone would be my guy as well, all things considered. But guess what? There's, like you said, there's other factors at play. So that's why I think Ualevi, unfortunately, is going to be starting on that third pairing lefty role with the training camp pairing Tyler Myers. That's going to be an interesting pairing. I would like to see Rathbone as well. But again, like, if you can send that guy down easily to the minors, I think that's the way to do it. I just don't see Jim Benning pulling the parachute on a former fifth overall pick. I just don't see it. He wants to be able to save face. So that's why I think Ualevi. Yeah, I think Ualevi, unfortunately, is going to be starting there.
I've said it many times before, both on, I'm sure, on this show and on my other shows and write articles and stuff. The mark of a good general manager isn't necessarily what you do right. It's when you're ready, how willing you are to admit when you make a mistake and when you're wrong on it. Jim Benning as a general manager has sometimes been, I would say, very, very, very bad at admitting when he made a wrong call or a call that did, or something, or when something doesn't work out, I should say. Because Ualevi potentially, let's say tragic knee injury never happens, might have been fine. Like, he might have been fine had he just not had the worst injury luck of all time. But Jim Benning is also, you know, there have been lots of other cases, including with a certain other sixth overall pick, where you just kept trying to see where you kept seeing that him trying to jam that square peg into the round hole and it wasn't working. And yet you kept paying, kept re-extend extensions and whatnot. Sometime if Jim Benning is willing to admit that this isn't going to work for you, Ualevi, that's the right thing to do. especially if it's coming at the, especially if keeping him would come at the cost of not having Rathbone play regular minutes, because frankly, you're a better team with Jack Rathbone playing regular ice time than you are without him off that, without him there.
Yeah, I think we're both in agreement here, Lachlan. Let's see Jack Rathbone on that third pairing on the left side. But that has it for another episode of Locked On Canucks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And don't forget to listen to Locked On Bets. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicap expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. Once again, this is the Locked On Canucks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for making this your first listen to of the day, and we'll see you again next time.